Hello and welcome to the Human Condition Podcast on Resilience Radio. I'm Lee Hatcher. I'm in conversation with Joe Alberts on why the Marlborough man never saw a psychologist. Now, this might be a generational thing, so if you're scratching your head on who on earth the Marlborough man is, here's Joe's sketch.
The Marlborough man is the man's man. You know, with his handsome, chiseled looks.
Yep.
He's tough. He rides a horse. He smokes cigarettes.
That's not very manly. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you had a problem, there's nothing that a couple of beers and a packet of smokes and his mates can solve.
Yes. So beyond the Marlborough man, you've had a wealth of experience in talking to men and helping them. Take us through a snapshot of where you've come from to this point, Joe, as a therapist.
Well, I spent many years in the Defence Force working with men. I supported them as a psychologist right there at the front where they were fighting for their countries. I also spent time with men in the corporate world, and I feel that I know what men think about and what they struggle with on a daily basis.
Okay. A lot of your practice is with men, actually.
Yeah. I would say about 80% of my clients are men.
So to continue with the Marlborough man illustration, he's self-sufficient, independent, proud, and doesn't see a psychologist. Why not?
Well, at our practice here in Epping, we find that 33% of our clients are male.
Okay.
In fact, the stats in Australia would say that only 27% of males who have a mental health problem will seek help.
Okay.
Yet, males also suffer. They do have mental health problems.
So if it's 27 and that's a healthy figure, there's still an awful lot who don't or can't bring themselves to a psychologist. Why is that?
Yeah, well, let's think about our Marlborough man again.
Hmm.
Our Marlborough man is self-sufficient. A man, a real man, is supposed to not only look after himself really well, but also after his family.
Yes.
And what am I then if I have to put up my hand and say, I can't cope anymore? Things have become too much for me. So we find that men, instead of doing exactly that, they will turn to cigarettes, drinking, gambling, a lot of addictions to try and help and get them through their suffering.
Medicate themselves.
They medicate themselves.
Yeah.
It's believed that, and I do believe that men are sometimes so insensitive to their own needs that they wouldn't even know that they have a problem.
Really?
Yeah, they feel a bit unhappy. And
so it's not just denial. They're not just denying it.
No. I think they just don't realize that there's a much better way of living. You know, Dad was a bit of a non-talker and a silent bloke and a bit negative, and I'm negative, and I just take that as that's who I am, and I might be struggling with depression.
So do they know at all that, for instance, if they're struggling with anxiety or depression, that they're not happy?
Not happy, not fulfilled, but yet I struggle and plod along because that's what's required of me.
So they just never stop?
Just never stop.
And there's been certainly, with our generation of men, that kind of notion of men don't cry, put on the stiff upper lip and press on. That's very much a cultural thing for men.
Yeah. How do I look in the mirror if I can't say that I can solve this problem? I can do this myself. I can beat this. For a bloke, our Marlborough man, it can be a really scary thought to expose myself to someone else.
Yep, I get that.
What if I'm rejected? What if I'm not good enough? Maybe the kind of communication you do in seeing a psychologist is different. What if I'm not able to talk about my feelings and my emotional needs and become completely flustered? I think there are males that believe nothing can actually help. They've lost the hope that things can be better. I don't need another person to tell me what I sort of know already.
Yeah.
Boys are hands-on. They want to fix things themselves.
Yeah, see, that's been kind of, again, a cultural thing almost from childhood. And that's a constant criticism of women. I don't want you to fix something. I just want you to hear me. So they're used to, totally conditioned to fixing things.
Yes.
Including themselves.
Yes.
But they can't fix themselves?
sometimes I get so stuck in my own world that I can't see the wood for the trees.
Okay.
I do believe that men can fix themselves, but sometimes they need a coach or a mentor or some guidance to be able to do that.
You're listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm in conversation with clinical psychologist Joe Alberts. So, suppose we've found the Marlborough man's mobile number. Actually, his wife gave it to me. And surprise, surprise, he does have some problems living up to the whole image thing. And he knocks on Joe's door. What's he going to find there?
Well, I would say in the first place, he's going to be happy to find a place where there's no judgment whatsoever. There's no ideal way to perform when you see a psychologist.
Would he be fearing judgment?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so. That's judgment is rife out there. And yet in the consulting room, there's no good or bad. It just is what it is. You don't have to prove yourself to be worthy. You can just be yourself.
I can imagine that's a really liberating thing quickly for a man, that I can be myself and accepted no matter who I am.
Yes, and I can't. It's not possible to shock a psychologist, you know. They've heard it all.
Yes, okay.
So it's good to say the things out loud and to hear your own words in that space where you don't even want to admit those truths to yourself, and yet here you can say it and the world doesn't end.
And I suspect a lot of the skill that a psychologist brings is pretty quickly getting to know what is going on, probably more than the man realizes.
Yes, yes. So people would say that I almost feel as if the psychologist has known me for a very long time, yeah. Maybe all of my life. And
how do you do that? I mean, I'm serious. How are you so penetrating to the heart of who this guy is so quickly?
I call that listening with a difference. So yes, there are people who are good listeners, and that's really good to be a good listener.
Yes.
But if you combine good listening with expert skill and a really deep understanding of the human psyche, you'll get that feeling that this person really, really understands me. And they do.
Here's the challenge, though. Men are known not to be good talkers. It's great to listen, but how do you get them to talk and acknowledge some of their problems or challenges?
Sometimes it's a bit of a struggle. And it's a slow start.
Yes.
But then this is the kind of environment where when I'm not judged, where I'm encouraged to share, that it becomes easier. And men will, when they really start trusting the psychologist, will share what's hurting deep inside.
Are you asking lots of questions?
Yeah. We're willing to ask questions, but that's not the ideal. There must be questions to help a person to start talking.
Yes.
And I think as the relationship develops, less questions is necessary.
You said before that often within the man himself, there will be answers and solutions. How do you go about that process? Because I think, why am I here? If I've got the solutions to my problems, how does that work?
I think people are infinitely capable of helping themselves. They know themselves really, really well. If they are guided to look at their situation a little bit differently, if they start questioning their behavior, they will find that applying what they know deep down is the right thing to do will give them the solutions and will often help them solve the problems.
Wow. Is it involving different thinking?
Yes.
About themselves?
Most definitely. I think if we are really stuck, we start thinking about ourselves sometimes in really negative and derogatory ways.
Can you give me an example? How does that work out?
Let's take an example of a young man who unfortunately has been cheated on by two or three girls.
Mm-hmm.
And this person will start believing, but am I the kind of person who would find someone who would love me and love me, you know, unconditionally?
I'd get that. Yeah. What a damaging thing for a bloke to endure.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about myself differently, and therefore my behavior, especially when females are around, that changes and that becomes a negative spiral. And sometimes we need someone to ask the question, you know, what you think about yourself, do you have good evidence to support that?
Okay.
Yeah, start thinking differently.
I expect that often there are very thoughtful silences when you ask those kind of questions.
Yeah.
What other questions do you ask to kind of direct a man to a solution that is actually within himself.
We asked them, what advice would they give someone else?
It's a good one. Yeah.
It gives a different
perspective. I'll pay that one. Yeah.
We asked them, how would they behave differently if their problem was solved already?
Imagine a world and a life where this is gone.
Yeah. Imagine you don't have that incumbent anymore.
Yeah.
How would it be different? But in this relationship, we also teach new skills so that I can go out and encounter my relationships using different words. We help people to start sharing their emotions and their feelings. And when I go out there and I do that with confidence, obviously that impacts the way that I think about myself.
And often that's a very new thing for a man to do.
Yeah, I can actually go out there and tell people how I feel and the world doesn't end. And in fact, they respond positively.
So he's not causing chaos doing that?
Not causing chaos.
Okay. Is it not a juggle that this is a safe place where you'll be accepted for who you are no matter what, but then blending an acceptance with a need for change? So you're saying, I accept you, I'm listening, I'm asking some questions, but I'm moving you to change. How does that work?
Well, we'll call that a dialectic. And it's one of the amazing situations that you find within the therapist room, that you could be accepted and at the same time there's a challenge and there's a call to change and to grow. So we would say that those two things would exist at the same time, and that is what helps people to move towards a more positive self.
So consider a man who's been on this journey. He comes in utterly reluctantly, not a believer in all this psychological stuff at all. But his life goes on to be hugely changed by some good counselling. What's he going to be like when he leaves your sessions, Joe?
Well, he would have traded his horse for a bicycle. No more beer but tea.
And given up those smokes.
No, he's going to look exactly the same. But he will leave there with a really deep new understanding of himself. There's new skills to think differently about himself and his situation.
Yeah.
There's even skills that would replace the excessive use of alcohol and cigarettes, if you want,
yes,
in his life. So I can go out there and I can interact with my loved ones, with my business colleagues, with the people out there with a new confidence, with a newfound sense of self, and not being encumbered by my mental health problem.
Can you give me an example of someone like that, real life circumstance? Of course, without identifying anybody.
Yeah, I'm thinking about a great young man who walked into my office and hesitatingly and very ashamedly started talking about his gambling addiction. And this was something that started quite innocently, you know, with friends, and very quickly developed into something where he would go back and go back again.
Mm.
And of course, with the gambling behavior, there was alcohol abuse as well. And this started undermining his confidence. He found himself lying to people about where he goes and where he spends his money. And I could see that he was waiting for me to judge him as his family and his mates.
How interesting. Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
And then the relief on his face when I did not judge him. I said, you know, that's okay. I think I can understand where you are and where you're coming from.
You can imagine the difference that makes.
Yeah. And then he feels, well, he's tried so many times to stop the gambling and he hasn't been successful. What can another bloke do? How can advice help me to do that? But he was able to identify that gambling filled a larger gap in his life. And there was a skill, and he wasn't assertive enough. He wasn't able to interact with other people and say, this is me and this is what I want, in an assertive, not an aggressive way. And as those skills developed, it was great to see that the need for the addictive behavior also diminished.
Was he asserting himself over the addiction?
Yes, but he was also sharing with people in his environment what his needs are. And because they found out what his needs are, they started meeting those needs.
What kind of needs, Joe?
Needs to be loved, needs to be accepted, needs to be heard.
Needs of all of us, really.
Needs of all of us.
Yeah.
And it was great to see how the need to engage in the addiction behaviors diminished as his assertiveness and self-confidence started rising.
How transformative.
How transformative. And then after a while to see someone who walks a little bit taller, you know, more money in the bank. Yeah.
I bet.
But he's a little bit taller and there's a sense of freedom around him.
What's it do for you to watch this and be part of this process of often transformation?
Well, that helps me to answer why am I on this earth? Because I'm here to help people. That's what gives me significance.
Yeah.
So to see someone grow and develop and be happy again, that makes me feel I'm making a contribution.
You sure are. You do a great job here at the Resilience Centre. Joe Alberts, thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Lee.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. The Resilience Centre website has a range of really helpful resources for men at www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.